put it in the front of my Bible, and just inside the flap, where it couldn't be seen. And I left it in my office because I did not want Vicki. I was trying to be very protective of her. Just didn't want her to get it. Well, a couple days later, I happened to take my Bible home, and Vicki goes over to my Bible and opens it up, and guess what's the first thing she sees? There's that letter. And it made Vicki livid. Vicki doesn't get upset very much. She's a very calm lady and doesn't react in anger and so forth, but she was livid when she saw that. And I wasn't at home. She picked up the phone and called this woman and blessed her out. I didn't say you cursed. She didn't curse, but she told the lady what she thought. And told her that she didn't have an idea in the world about all the time that I spent and all that kind of stuff, and that she didn't appreciate her one bit for her attitude and what she was saying. Hung up the phone and started crying, and then she turned around and picked up the phone and called the lady back and apologized, but I want you to listen to what she said. She said, "I apologize for the way I said what I said, but I don't apologize for what I said." And Vicki was really hurt by that. And wives are hurt when they know the sacrifices that their husbands have made, and then somebody goes on the attack. And I want to get to that just here in a moment about our families. Any other comments before we go on? Okay. Next slide, Mark number 18. When church leaders are critical of each other, I wish I didn't have to put this in here, but the reality is that church leaders sometimes are going to be critical of each other. It's going to happen. Can you all give me an example?
Well, when you mentioned several times in this series already where if a decision is made, one elder says, "Well, I wasn't on board with that. That was this other guy's idea."
True. I'm talking about biblically. Think about Aaron and Miriam criticizing Moses in Numbers 12. Now, we mentioned earlier about Paul and Peter in Galatians 2. There are going to be times when elders may criticize other elders. There may be elders criticize deacons, deacons criticize elders. Elders with ministers, and ministers with elders or deacons. So these kind of things really do happen. And, they can be really painful. The second thing is, we'll simply say, there may be some times when you have to do that. But when you have to do it, number two is be accurate. Make sure that you criticize only what needs to be said. And make sure that you're correct in your criticism. Number three is strive to be constructive. Try to build up, not tear down and destroy. Seek to encourage growth. And next slide is control your emotions. Control your temper. Don't inflame stuff. Don't let something get out of hand and become an attack personally on each other. Number five is be forgiven. If a false charge is made against you, I want to make a suggestion. If a false charge is made against you, look at it, simply say it's not accurate, and don't respond anymore to it. If you keep responding, it sometimes will make you look guilty. If a false charge is made against you, try the best you can. Underline try. Try the best you can not to hold grudges and surely don't seek to retaliate. I've seen situations where false accusations have been made, and man, it hurts. But I'll tell you, if you hold back your heart, it can build up animosity. It can eat you. It can cause you to hate the criticizer. On the other hand, you can't make somebody repent. They may never. If they do, be forgiving and be willing to seek restoration with that person. And lastly, is consider the impact of your actions on the peace and welfare of the congregation. Consider its impact on the community. Consider the impact of the congregation in its future and the very existence of it, because how we deal with things, we can take criticism of each other, and we can destroy a congregation. So, to those of you who are elders, I would say to you, in your elderships, be very, very, very careful about nitpicking, finding fault. You're going to disagree about decisions, but be careful that you don't end up being hypocritical of each other. I would say this to you elders about preachers. Be careful that you don't that you stop seeing what they're doing, that you stop seeing the work that they're doing, and all you do is become critical of them. Become such a negative person toward a preacher, you can run him off when maybe you shouldn't have, and you might end up with something a lot worse in the future. And I'm not saying the guy's doing wrong and needs to be called, called out and corrected. But all of us need to be careful, and keeping in mind, most of all, we're in the Lord's church, and it's very, very important how we act. Now, number 20, Mark, when leaders have to criticize other leaders or members, here's some things I suggest we do. Number one is consider which leader or leaders may be the most effective person in delivering that criticism to another to the person. Why do I say that?
It's coming from the wrong person. It might fall flat on its face.
Yeah, that's true, Mark. Now, here's the question. Who could be the wrong person? Elders, if you have something you need to talk to somebody about, who could be the wrong person?
Person who has a personality that conflicts with the person they're talking with.
Yeah, you may have a personality thing with that person that they're just like this. You know, you don't know why. That's wise elders are going to ask those kind of questions. Wise elders are going to ask, who's the person in the eldership that may have the relationship with the person that can say what needs to be said, but at the same time is respected by the person? Now, you've got to be careful, because you also need to ask, is there somebody that has such a timid personality that they go talk to the person, they may not even address it? So you need to consider which person may be the most effective in delivering the criticism. Number two, as I've said about other things, practice the golden rule. Practice Christian courtesy. Number three, be accurate. Number four, be direct. Again, I can't overemphasize that always. Number five is strive to be constructive. And lastly, is control your emotions. When you're dealing with criticism, it is a big deal about not letting our emotions get out of hand, because when that happens, oh my, things get ugly. Now, I want to take this in a different direction. What about the impact of criticism upon our families? And I want to really say some things here about this that I think all of you need to hear. Number one is criticism of a husband can fire up or can crush a wife. She may immediately be ready to go on the attack to defend you, as Vicki asked me to tell you the story a while ago. Guys, another thing is, and I've seen this happen to a lot of preachers, is your wife may just wish you weren't a leader, and I see the same thing with elders. A lot of women just say, I'm fed up with this. My husband doesn't deserve this. I don't want to put up with it. So you have to think long and hard about a criticism. I would caution you men to be very careful about bringing criticism home to your mate. There are things that sometimes you just need to shoulder and deal with, and not talk about it, because it can really do some harm. And I think you have to be careful about it. Secondly, is the criticism of a father can crush children. And for us to be preachers, elders, deacons in the church, so elders, deacons, we've got to be fathers. There are a lot of children of church leaders who've become very, very negative toward the church because they've watched their dad be criticized and torn down. And there are a lot of leaders, children, who've left the Lord and left the church because their dad has been, in their eyes, has been mistreated, and they're fed up with it. Now, let me ask the question. What do we do as leaders to protect our children?
You know, teaching your children how to deal with criticism is important, too.
That's true. What else?
Some things should be kept confidential.
Amen. What else?
There's some situations that have happened to me that when my kids get older, this is a big question for me. I really don't know. You know, I can ask people not to discuss something in the foyer, but if somebody's going to let me have it in the foyer and my kids get old enough to notice something about that, I can talk to them about, you know, I don't want them to have the idea, well, in the church there's people that you just have to deal with that aren't, you know, I don't want to fracture that picture.
Right.
At the same time, they've got to learn how to, that you can't listen to what everybody says. But so, honestly, it's a big question. I'd like to know the answer along some of those lines.
Well, I think one of the things is you can't shelter your children from the standpoint, Mark, to say, well, there are never any ugly Christians. Yeah, there are. You know, you read 1st and 2nd Corinthians, there's all kinds of them. But I think the question is, what do we do as much as we can to protect our wives, protect our kids, and try to make sure that our children come through dad being an elder, dad being a deacon, dad being a preacher, and still have positive feelings for the church. So, Mark, let's go to the next slide. I want to give you three suggestions.